So we're going to be talking about fear. Going to be talking about fear, and you guys know that that meme says what I'm afraid of is mic stands getting tangled up. That's my biggest fear. No, you know that meme. It says that there are 365 times the Bible says fear not. And that's for every day. And what an amazing thing that is. yeah. Try to do that. Just try. Go through and you look through the King James Version. And there are like 37 fear nots. And go through a different version and go, you will never find one of them that says fear not. Well, then they start explaining, wait, that's not what we mean. We mean the Bible says do not fear, or talks about fear and how we shouldn't fear 365 times. Well, you can start reading through that and being like, okay, let's see that. Well, a lot of them in there are just purely mentions of fear. It's like Tony talking to Robert. We pretend they didn't have those, they had biblical names. And saying, hey, don't be afraid. Well, that's different than God saying, do not fear. They're talking about fear in context of a conversation. So it's not real. But I asked the question, I was like, well, all right, wait. So the fact you guys think that because it says it 365 times, it's more important than if God had only said it once or twice or three times. It must be even more powerful, right? Oh, I was like, well, that's a problem. Because if God says it, even if he says it once or twice, we go, okay, this is from God saying, do not fear. Well, I started looking and thinking, all right, what am I scared of? What am I scared of? Now, some of you here who are my age, a little bit older, maybe a little bit younger, and that's 60. I know you guys are shocked because you're like, Scott is 60? I thought he was 34. But when I was a kid, I would come home from school and I would watch TV. Anybody know what was on TV? What we watched? This was before after school specials. It was Dark Shadows. Oh, yeah. Any of you guys watch that? It was on at like 4 in the afternoon.
I have it on my rotation now.
To terrorize children. And so I would sit there and eat my bowl of cereal after school snack, and I'd watch The Vampire Show. And then I was sure at night, you know those nights where you wake up and you see it looks like somebody's standing right over there. The worst one is when you do that and you're right in bed and you're laying in bed and you're like, and so you go like this. You ever do that? I'm the only one. Okay. So I'd be like, it looks like somebody's standing there. This is stupid. Because if I went bonk, then what am I going to do? But from watching Barnabas Collins and watching that Dark Shadows, I was convinced every night when I'd go to bed that he's like in that closet. He's over here. And I was really scared. And so I would sleep. Sometimes I'd put the light on and be like, okay, Barnabas doesn't like light because I know enough about him, you know, because I watched the show. Came on right before Gilligan's Island. But I started thinking, fears. We have fears. Do you know, a number of years back, there was a study to say, what are the top 10 fears that we have as human beings? The top 10 fears. Number 10 was losing your freedom. Losing your ability to move about freely, losing that freedom. Number 9, no big surprise, the unknown. I thought that would be higher up on the list, that we fear the unknown. Number 8, pain. Now, here's the thing. Some of us have a low pain tolerance. And others of you have like this pain tolerance that's incredible. Like my wife can have surgery on her eyes and be like, I'm fine, you know, and no pain at all. Me, I'd be wrecked. You know, it's like, scientists have proven though, that man cold is just as severe as childbirth. It's proven. Nope, that's a lie. Number seven, people are scared of disappointment. Number six, misery. Number five, loneliness. So many people make decisions based on loneliness, that being in a bad situation is better than being alone. Loneliness. Number four, ridicule. Number three, rejection. Number two, death. Number one, failure. That those are the most common human fears, and a lot of them, they just go together, right? It goes together. You can have that loneliness, which causes misery, which causes disappointment, and they're all working together in that situation. But that list isn't very specific. I'm like, I want to know what we're scared of. All right, here's the thing. I want you all to stand up. We're going to do a little quiz here. Because this is the top 10 things that if you ask people, what are you scared of, they listed. So if you're scared of snakes, sit down. If you're scared of public speaking, sit down. All right. Okay, somebody take notes because all these people are going to be scheduled to speak. All right. If you're scared of heights, sit down. That was the number three. If you're scared of being closed in a small space, sit down. If you're scared of spiders, sit down. Look at these brave people. If you're scared of needles and getting shots, sit down. Well, I think we've had a conversation. If you're scared of mice, sit down. Yeah, we lost one on mice. If you're scared of flying on an airplane, sit down. There, we lost a couple there. If you're scared of dogs, sit down. If you're scared of thunder and lightning, if you're scared of going to the doctor, if you're scared of the dark. Okay, so you guys are brave. You didn't get any of the top 12 things that people answer. So you can all sit down. But those are the things that we're scared of. I want to hear from some of you who are still standing. What are you scared of? If you came around a corner and saw this, you went, what is it? Anything?
Hornets.
Yeah. Yellow jackets. This time of year, you go apple picking and you set your apple over here. What happens within 5 minutes? It's swarming with yellow jackets. And a lot of people, I see them, they're like, and running away like the yellow jackets. I'm over here picking up the apple and going, get off of my apple. When we were in Mexico, we went to build a classroom at a deaf school. And I brought a group. There were about 34 of us. And we were in Mexico. And we went downtown and did a little sightseeing one day. And they were selling mangoes on a stick. You guys remember this? Mangoes on a stick. And here they are. They're out there and they're selling mangoes. And they are just covered with bees. And so the guy, if you bought the mango, he'd go like this with his hand, wipe off all the bees, just with it, no glove or anything, just, and hand it to you. And it's like, those bees, your hornets, what else are you scared of? You come around the corner.
Bears.
This is good. We are going to talk actually about, why do we have fear? Well, number one, fear is a human emotion. You guys have heard that song, right? On Caleb or whatever. There's no fear in God, and there's no fear, and fear never exists, and fear. And I listen to that song, and I go, I know what the artist is trying to say. He's trying to say it, that that we give our fears to God. But the song itself, if you're listening and don't know and don't study and know in Scripture, you might have the idea, if I'm scared, then there's something wrong with me as a Christian. My faith, there's something wrong. But fear is a human emotion. It's a basic human emotion. And a lot of times, it's for our good. You should be afraid of bears. You should be afraid of wild buffaloes. But yet every week, it seems we see a new video of some idiot. Oh, did I say that out loud? Of some person who goes at Yellowstone Park and goes up to the buffalo, and she's got her phone looking to get a picture of her and the buffalo. And there are some videos that you can search for and watch the buffaloes toss those people around like rag dolls. You know, I think I saw one woman, I think she hit 20 feet in the air. That wild buffalo said, you should be afraid of me. I'm wild. So that's a rational fear. When it becomes irrational is if you're scared at night in your bed here in Westbrook, Windham, Gorham, Buxton, Gray, wherever you live, if you're laying in bed at night and you're kind of quaking because you're scared of buffalo, that is an irrational fear. There are no wild buffaloes around your house, and they're certainly not coming in through your front door, up your stairs, opening your door and coming in and goring you. So there's rational fear, and then there's irrational fear. And so God gives us this human emotion of fear sometimes to protect us, to say it is wise to be afraid of that grizzly bear. He is not your friend. Don't go pet him. We were at Attitash Mountain Village with a bunch of people from Connecticut and New York, and this bear was walking out behind all of the resort units. And so people started noticing, oh, it's a bear, it's a bear. We were watching the bear as Mainers do, close to the door, 100 yards away, 200 yards away. But people that were there from Connecticut and Massachusetts, and they don't know bears, they're getting their cameras out, taking videos, and trying to get closer to the bear. And we're going, that is an irrational no fear. You should be afraid. So sometimes fear is good. Actually, the Bible tells us that we are to fear God, meaning have a respect for God that is so great that we trust who he is and we obey him because he's God. Because he's God. So I'm working toward choosing faith over irrational fear in my own life. You guys, I shared last week some of my fears and anxieties I'm going through. If you missed it, it was a great time. I cried, they cried, we all cried. It was just awesome. But you guys know that when I speak to you today, I am not speaking to you as somebody who has this all figured out. I'm not speaking to you as somebody who's arrived and says, I have arrived and this is what you must do. This message is also coming straightforward to me. So, faith over fear. Number one, faith focuses on God, not on our problems. If you have your Bible on your phone or with you, turn to Deuteronomy 31, starting in verse 6. This was God telling the Israelites not to focus on the armies and the fortifications that they saw in the Holy Land. Remember, God had told the Israelites, I'm giving you that land. That land is yours. And remember, spies went over to check it out. And the spies came back, and what did they say? There are giants in the land. Now, we Americans immediately think Hollywood giants, right? We're thinking as tall as this tree. No, they're saying these are NFL football player type people over there. You guys who have been to a game, if you get to stand on the sideline of an NFL game next to all of the NFL players, you leave there going, they're giants. They're giants. These guys were big. They were fortified. They were strong. They were, and God is saying this to the Israelites. He says, so be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. Well, when God tells you, do not be afraid, he always gives you a reason why you don't have to be afraid. Okay? Let's look for that reason. Do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. Do not be afraid because God will personally go ahead of you. In the normal situation, without God, be afraid of those giants. But with God, your faith, do not be afraid of those giants. I don't know what your giants are. You heard last week what my giants are and what I'm facing. And the Lord says to me, I will be with you. Even in this darkest time, I will be with you. And I can either choose to focus on the giant, which I do sometimes. Some days I focus on the giants. But other days, when I make the conscious choice to choose faith in God over my problem, is a much better day. He says he'll personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. So focus on him and his promise when you're fearful of that giant that is ahead of you. The second thing, faith trusts in God's timing, not my timing, not your timing. We're Americans. We rage if fast food takes more than 5 minutes. We literally get angry while we're in the line. We get angry at our server if we've been sitting there and we ordered our food 25 minutes ago and it hasn't showed up yet. We literally get angry. Because we Americans are used to our timing and things happening fast. We are conditioned, I just ate a bug. We are conditioned that we think everything should be immediate gratification. Faith trusts in God's timing, not our own. Look at Isaiah 40, 31. Some of you know this verse by heart. You know it? Don't know it by heart, but you know which one it is. Isaiah 40, 31. But those who trust in the Lord, those who wait upon the Lord, those who trust also means obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. All the people who sing those treasured hymns know that by heart. Trust and obey. Those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. See, sometimes we're not there. And it's okay for us to say, God, I'm not flying. I am not running as young youths with unlimited strength. That's not me, God. But to trust in his promise that it will come. I remember when I was waiting for my transplant, my liver transplant, and I was so very sick. And I had my charismatic friends who would come and pray for me, and my Baptist friends who would come and pray for me. I always preferred my charismatic friends praying for me because, man, those guys would be like, and he will be healed in the name of Jesus, and this is going to happen, and we know and we claim it, God. And my Baptist friends would pray for me to be die comfortably. it was like the difference. But I remember one of my friends asking me, do you believe that you will be healed? And I said, I totally do. Might not be here on this earth. It might be when I meet Jesus and I get my new body. But the promise is, I will be whole. I know that. And there were times that I would look and be so sick and so desperate and have no strength. I used to have to ride in a mobility chair because I really couldn't walk more than 50 yards. My knees wouldn't bend. There was so much fluid stuck in my legs. And we would pack up this mobility cart, and this young man, Jake, over here, we'd call on his muscles many times because those batteries were heavy and that thing was heavy. And so we'd have to load it up. And I had no strength to fly like eagles. I had no strength to run and not get tired. But I'd pray, those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will find strength. Maybe not here in my timing, but in his timing I will. And I praise God that he allowed for me to be healed through a liver transplant. 3 years later, with a group of friends, I had a goal on my anniversary of my liver transplant to ride in the trek across Maine. So with Jerry, with other friends, Jerry and Amy and Jerry, your sister, right? And some of my friends from around town, we rode in the trek across Maine. And it came Saturday night after we had already done about 130 miles, 120 miles, and a tropical storm was coming in the next day. And it was going to rain about 4 to 5 inches. And most of the people in the race, in the ride were saying, nah, we're heading home, we're calling it good. And so my team was looking at me and going, Scott, what do you want to do? And I said, I'm going to finish this thing. I'm going to finish this. And we rode in the pouring rain. And I remember the tears of crossing that finish line 180 miles later. From 3 years before, when I had no strength, I couldn't soar on eagle's wings. I had nothing. They will renew their strength. There are numerous accounts in Scripture of people who feel like God isn't moving quick enough. Look at, this is one of my favorites here, a strange favorite from Habakkuk in chapter 1. And it's a vision that Habakkuk received. It says, Habakkuk's complaint, how long, O Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. You ever get that? Like you're talking to God going, this is not okay. Come on, show up now. I want it now. Violence is everywhere, I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I'm surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed, and there is no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted. And so I look at that and I read that and I go, that's today's newspaper. That sounds like today. And that verse, how long, O Lord, must I call for help? Well, God answers him. God answers him in chapter 2 in verse 3. He says, it seems slow in coming. Wait patiently, for it surely will take place. There are examples in Scripture where people had to wait 40 years to get the answer. Joseph sold into slavery by his brothers. 40 years later, it comes to see. Oh, you meant it for my harm, but God meant it for my good. God meant it for my good. So number three, faith grows by believing in God in spite of your circumstance, in spite of my circumstance. Remember, I'm preaching to myself here. Feel free to nod off. All right. Isaiah 41:10 was written to the Israelites during their exile in Babylon. And so for Israelites, being with the Babylonians was the worst. They hated it. I mean, it was just terrible. They were captives, they were suffering, they were struggling, and they would say, life stinks. This is terrible. It was all a result of their ignoring God, by the way. It was circumstances that came about because they wouldn't trust what God was telling them to do. But there they were in the midst of this. And God, because of who he is, doesn't abandon them. He should have. We'd look at them and go, God, kick them to the curb. But God doesn't kick to the curb. It says in Isaiah 41:10, in the worst of circumstances, he says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. It's not about you. It's about me. Again, don't be afraid. And the why is why? Because God is who he is. God doesn't leave you or forsake you. And this is the battle going on in my mind. That as I lay there sometimes having that anxiety about what is to come, I have to pull out scripture on my phone and just look and be like, wait a minute. I will renew your strength. I will restore you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. Don't be discouraged because I am who you can trust in and believe, and I do not leave you because of who God is. It's not about me. And the last one, faith obeys God one step at a time. Even when I don't feel like it and don't want to obey God, even when he's telling me, this route that you want to go on is a bad route. You shouldn't go on it. People are always like, I just wish God would reveal this to me. So many times he already has. It's in scripture. It's right there. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord. Obey with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Scott, I know this doesn't make sense to you. Don't depend on that understanding. Don't depend on the report of those numbers that you got. Don't depend on that situation that's happening right now, your circumstance. Don't depend on that. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. In Psalm 34:4, it says, I sought the Lord, he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. And to close, turn to Matthew 14:23-33. This is a story that you can skim, all right? It's a familiar story. Jesus was out in the hills praying, and the disciples were in trouble out on the water, right? They're in the boat. They're out in the water. And there they are, and they're scared. So in Matthew 14, verse 25, it says, about 3:00 in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. Okay, get this. You're out on the lake. You're out there. It's about 3 a.m. It's dark. The waves are whipping. Your boat is only this tall, because I've seen it in touring Israel. It's not a big, and so little waves are a big scary deal. And you look out and you see somebody walking on the water. Yeah. It'd be me. Is that Barnabas Collins? That's exactly what they did. Look, They said they were terrified, and in their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." Well, yeah. Wouldn't you? Yeah. But Jesus spoke to them, "Do not be afraid." He didn't end there, because remember, when he says fear not, he gives you the reason why you don't fear. "Do not be afraid. Take courage. I am here. Otherwise, if it's not me," yeah, be afraid. There's a dude walking on water up there, and it's not me. You should be afraid. But he says, "Do not fear, for it is me." So I'd kind of, if I was in that boat, go, "Oh, all right." Peter says to him, "All right, if it's really you, let's test this. If it's really you," this is a dumb test. He says, "If it's really you, tell me to come walking to you on the water." I'm like, "Peter, come on, let's think this through for a minute, pal. If it's not him, what does that mean for you? It means you're going to sink and drown here, right? Come on." Peter says, "If it's really you, tell me to come to you on the water." And so Jesus says, "Yeah, come on." Peter jumps out of the boat. Every sermon you've ever heard talks about Peter losing his faith. "Oh, Peter, what a crumb bum. That guy, you feel free to use that word freely in the rest of your day, crumb bum. Well, he's a loser. The guy had no faith. Look, he sank." Took his eyes off Jesus. What a loser. I'm like, no. He got out of the boat. The rest of those bozos are still in the boat. They weren't like, "Okay, come to me." And so Peter gets out of the boat and walks on the water toward Jesus. But then it tells us something happened. Peter goes, looks at the waves, looks at what he's doing, and he goes, "I can't walk on water." And he starts sinking. That happens to me sometimes. When I'm in the middle of following God, something that he said to do, and we're doing it, and I go, "This is crazy, it's never gonna work. This is terrible, it's gonna bomb, and we're gonna be out here alone," and everything. And I get to that same place where it says, Peter was terrified and began to sink. He said, "Save me, Lord," he shouts. And you would think from the sermons you've heard that God said, "Jerk, you didn't believe. Your faith is so weak. You deserve it. See you later, pal." No, that's not Jesus. Jesus saves. Jesus saves when we're terrified. Jesus saves even when we're not obeying. Jesus saves when we're walking away from him. Jesus saves every time we reach out and say, "Lord, save me." He saves. And he reaches out and he pulls Peter back into the boat. And he says, "Why did you not believe?" It wasn't a thing where he was like, "You're a terrible person." But it's like you started walking on the water. That should have proven to us, I can trust in Jesus. Then I should have started running. But no, I looked away from him and said, "I can't do this." And in my life, it's like I've been through a transplant. I've had God be there with me. I've had weird things happen, which are like a vision and things. And I'm not a pew jumper or any of that stuff. I've had things I can't explain happen, and I've been through all that. I've walked on that water and had him rescue me, and yet here I am in the midst of my surgery coming up, sinking and going, "Lord, save me." And he does. He does because of who he is. Our musicians are going to come up because we're going to end with communion. And this communion table over here, the way we do it, if it's your first time, feel welcome to come on up. We do a self-serve buffet style. It's not really a buffet. But we do self-serve and take the bread, take the cup. I have to give credit to Chris for that one. He was like, "It's a buffet communion." You can come up, take the bread, take the cup. This is a symbol. This represents Jesus walking on that water. In the midst of your life, whatever fear you're facing, whatever fear I'm facing, saying, I'm here. Cry out, Lord, save me. And he reaches down to us, and he picks us up, and he hugs us, and he says, I will walk with you because of who I am. My love for you because of who I am. Let's pray together, and then you can take communion as you wish. Hang around for a bit after. Angel's going to cut up the cake because it's Jerry Sunday. Lord, we thank you so much that you do not let us sink when we cry out to you. We thank you so much that you do not see our fears and turn away. We thank you so much that your word tells us that there's nothing, neither height nor depth, nor angels, nor demon, nor anything in all creation that can separate us from your love because of who you are. We thank you that as you broke bread, as you poured that cup, you told your disciples, do this in remembrance of me. Remember this act as one of the many I've done to show you that God saves, God rescues, God takes us in our darkest time and says, I will walk with you. We thank you for your sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen.